Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And you felt like it was going to come down to the big man to end this streak.
All right, we don't usually have home run call remorse or second thoughts or second guesses. We might have one here, Producer Evan. Producer Evan, who does such a good job and picks the home run call of the day. And that was a good one. Make no mistake about it. James Wood, who we are hoping to talk to over the weekend, reunite with. He's already been on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. He has the walk-off home run with the call from Bob Carpenter and another friend of the program, Kevin Franzen. Great home run call. Great home run call. But when you interview a player, and then that player proceeds to go 4 for 4 with a home run, then, I don't know, man. It just felt like Xander Bogaerts should have had the home run call of the day. But it was late. In fairness, East Coast, we got the producer working on the East Coast time. It's late. Understandable. But once again, the Baseballs and boring science comes through. I sit down for an interview with Xander Bogaerts, and then just a few hours later, he has maybe his best game of the year. 4 for 4 with a home run in the Padres win over the Dodgers. So there you go. It's science. You do Baseballs and Boring podcasts, interviews, sit-downs, great things happen. All right, so as we said, I sat down with Xander Bogaerts, not for a long time, to give you some context. I swooped in, been all over the West Coast, flew in from Seattle, flew over to Dodger Stadium, was able to get Xander for about 8 minutes, exclusively pretty much talking about his buddy Rafael Devers, because no one really had talked to him about it, and you know, this is a huge part of the conversation. Would things have been different if Xander Bogaerts was around mentoring, guiding his good friend Rafael Devers? So I wanted to talk to Xander about that. We ran out a little bit of time just because of clubhouse access. We appreciate all the access we get. And I could have talked to Xander forever. We usually have very, very long conversations. And maybe later this year we're going to. But this was good enough because, as we said, nobody really talked to Xander about this, about the Devers situation. And certainly it's a unique perspective. One of the most unique perspectives, I think, of any player, Bogaerts and Devers. So I give you Xander Bogaerts talking about Rafael Devers. And then after that, we continue the Devers conversation in sort of a unique way where we wanted to find some angry people were angry about the Devers deal, obviously, Red Sox fans. So we want to maybe give somebody, some people who have some of the anger, an opportunity, a forum to do that. So that's where our guy Julian McWilliams comes in, and a special guest, someone who was so angry he took to Twitter, took to X to go after me a little bit. But you know what? Like, I viewed that as passion. And so if you're passionate about something, you come on the podcast. So that's Trey Daubert. We'll get to them later. But first, we're going to sit down. We sit down with Xander Bogaerts. Reunited with Xander Bogaerts. And for Xander Bogaerts, that felt so good. 4-for-4, home run, boom, science. Yep. Okay, here's Xander. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Xander Bogaerts. What's going on with you?
You know, enjoying life, you know, some tough losses lately. Really good games you've been playing, but can't seem to be on the good side of it these last couple of days.
So I get right to it because we don't have a lot of time. I know that your name has been brought up a lot lately about leadership and the importance that you have been, were in Boston and continue to be in San Diego. I don't know if with the Rafi situation, if you had talked to him at all, looking from afar, or were you just way away from it?
No, I mean, you know, with him, we talk quite often. You know, I mean, we played alongside each other for so long. You know, we hung out with each other at the field, away from the field, you name it. You know, we always had a special relationship. You know, not just on the field, but. Yeah, we always maintain in contact.
So you knew his frustration. His frustration.
I mean, I knew a little bit, you know. Not that I saw any of this coming, you know. I mean,
where were you when you found out that he was traded?
We just finished the game in Arizona. Just sat down at my locker, the Sunday game. Sat down at my locker and Bob Nightingale. Yeah. Shows me on his phone Rafael Devers traded, and I was like, nah. And then he thought it was a joke too, not a joke, but like a
So someone hacked somebody.
Yeah, it was Robert.
Yeah, Robert Murray.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And we both looked at it and was like, nah. And he was like, are you sure? I'm like, I don't know. So then I hit Devers up, and then he was
walking off the plane.
He got back at me right away, and. The moment he told me, that's when I knew it was for real, you know? He told me before it kind of like, everyone started, you know?
Oh, he knew that it was coming?
No. He wrote me.
Oh.
So I texted him, hey, is this true? And he replied to me before everyone started, like, you know? Because at that point, we still didn't know if it was true or not, you know? But once the source, I mean, the man said.
When he got taken off the plane, I mean, it was like.
You want it?
I was not on the plane. Those were the good old days. The reason I bring up your lead is because a lot of people, fair or not, because of your relationship with Rafi, say, you know, hey, Xander would have been able to be able to communicate and everything. What's your take on that? Or was it just like Rafi's a grown guy and he's going to do it?
Hey, listen, man, he's a grown man, you know, and I saw Pedro, I saw David, you know, I mean, those guys are legends of the game, legends of the Red Sox organization, you know, even when I was around, you know, these guys were very helpful to me and to the organization. I mean, they did so much. I saw all their, you know, their input, their take on it. I wonder what I don't know what I would have done, but he's a grown man, you know, and whenever he has, if he has some tough questions, you know, we talk about it, you know.
Did he, so you talked him through some of the stuff?
Early parts.
The early
parts of it, you know, I mean, hey, once the season comes, you know, it's, I mean, he got his to deal with, I got mine to deal with, the parties, you know, but I mean, he was going through a tough situation because I also, my second year here, you know, I moved to second, you know, and I end up doing it, you know. His was a little different because during the season, they also, you know, Costas got hurt and asked him to move to first and stuff like that.
It was
that,
two different things, right?
Yeah, it was.
Well, there was the first time, you know, where he's upset because you're asking him to DH, but then Costas got hurt and you asked him to play first base. But you're right. I mean, you went through the same thing, including.
Similar. You know, well, I stayed on the field, though.
Well, that's the thing. You play. And Tanner, I'm like, you like Rafi. I like Rafi. But the thing is that. I don't know if I've ever, you know, you're upset when you have to go switch positions. But still, there's only so much you can do, you know?
I mean, talk about his start, you know what I mean?
Mm.
His start was a little tough, you know?
Yeah.
And then he bounced back greatly from that. And, I mean, he's the Rafi that we all know he is and the one that he's always been, you know? But...
Well, let me ask this. When you, because you went through it, did you give him any advice in that respect?
It was still a little different, you know, because I went to play second, you know. I mean, I stayed on the field. He went from
not being on the field.
On the field to not being on the field at all, you know. So something that I never done, I don't know about it. I know switching position. I stayed on the field, you know, and he didn't. That's a whole different, you know. And...
But so when it comes to when the first base thing happens, now this is an opportunity to be on the field. Were you surprised? And I know this is tough because, like, you're...
Oh, man, it's tough, man. I mean, remember, going third to first, it's a whole different angle of everything. Short and second, it's a different angle, but... Now he has to be on certain plays for cutoff and relays. And
he has to learn it.
And the balls in between second and first that are tough, do we go for it or he goes to the base, you know? And, you know, what happened once he started having a couple blunders, you know what I mean? It can be tough, you know? And I don't know the adequate time for you to learn a position. I have no idea. I had spring training. And
but he went to
that.
The Giants and started learning.
I mean... Yeah, but we don't. He's doing it, but we don't know when he's going to be able to be on the field.
The last thing is just because you like him and you like Cora and you like the organization. For you, it must have been a hard thing to watch from a distance, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I know them. You know, I know them because I've been around them for a long time. You know, so I know them, and I was surprised how it all unfolded and. But life continues and baseball continues, and I mean, they made what decision they wanted to make, and he's over there, now they're over there, and hopefully they're both happy, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was tough to see for sure.
All right, you can tell it's a tough situation for Xander, right? Really good friends with, you can tell about how good of friends he is with Rafael Devers, how much he texts with him, how immediately he responded to him, how this took, I mean, going through the process, communicating. I know it wasn't easy for Xander as Devers' friend to see his friend go through that. And we can criticize Devers all the live long day, but at the end of the day, Xander Bogaerts, this is his little brother. I mean, really growing up. So you could hear that. You can hear that he's a little bit conflicted. And also, it's just a tough situation. Tough situation. Never saw it coming. He was surprised. We were all surprised. But I was not surprised that ultimately we would get Xander Bogaerts' take on it. All right. Well, speaking of takes, we sat down a little bit after I went to Dodger Stadium, did another podcast, did another conversation. And like I said, you know, Trey Daubert, he was on social media on X on Twitter. And, you know, he was pretty critical of me for my take on my weekly hit, the McFarland WEI hit. And, you know, that's fine. You know, called me some names and said I was a terrible reporter and so forth and so on. But the way I look at it, once again, is that I wanted to let somebody rant and rave and express their anger. I mean, and clearly Trey was angry. Like, he's a guy who follows the Red Sox, even though he lives in Pennsylvania, has some very strong takes. And then, you know, obviously we were actually already planning to do a podcast with Julian McWilliams, regular family member of the program, because he was very passionate about everything that's going on. So it's kind of a wild ride, but, you know, You might find it entertaining. Maybe you find it therapeutic. I don't know. But I just wanted to get, I don't think it's done enough, as I point out. I don't think it's done enough where, you know, if somebody is giving the take and somebody is offering their critiques, well, if I can maybe offer a little bit of different perspective or maybe the same perspective, and once again, it's everyone's prerogative to be wrong. Everyone's prerogative to be wrong. All right, here you go. Very lengthy conversation about being mad about Rafael Devers with Julian and Trey. All right, there's no two people I'd rather be talking to right now than Julian McWilliams and Trey Daubert. Julian, I say that all the time.
You got the smile from him, Rob.
Yeah, man.
I did not expect that response, but
yeah. Well, listen. I mean, usually it's when I don't get a chance to say that to someone on the same day. They rip me on a blog post and Twitter and everything else.
I think it was well deserved, but
easy there, Trey. Easy.
Yeah. He's
okay. All right. It's coming in hot. Listen, you're gonna get your chance.
Let me close this door, dog.
But I mean it. And the reason why, Trey, Julian is all fired up about the Devers thing. We've been talking for a long time about it. And so we were already going to do the podcast. And then I'm like, you know, clearly, like, you're very passionate about this Devers thing, passionate about the Red Sox. So we always do sort of baseball fans aren't boring. We let baseball fans. You are a baseball fan, I assume, correct? Yes.
I love everything. I cover everything: college football, fantasy football.
And you are a wrestler, correct? You're a wrestler.
Yeah. So you did some research on me.
Well, I mean, it's like it's worth a Google. You know, it's like,
where'd you wrestle?
So I wrestled D3.
Oh, nice.
Ursinus College. I could have went D1, but I absolutely hated it. And I wrestled since I was 6 years old, so I wasn't.
What's the wrestling version of the yips, Julian? Like, so Julian had the yips. What's the
I played D1, and I had the yips, dude. I couldn't. I got to Scott College, couldn't throw.
Can you
baseball.
Get the yips in wrestling? Is that a thing?
It's all muscle memory, honestly.
I know, right? I mean, can't be like, oh, I can't possibly put this guy in the chokehold.
Are you a jiu-jitsu guy now?
No, I mean, I lift. I'm working it pretty good, but
okay.
Yeah. Oh, lucky you. All right.
I'm done with all that stuff. I like this stuff. Like, nothing gets me more fired up than like having a good fantasy football take or like that. I love that more than even winning a wrestling match, honestly.
All right. So Trey, tell us before we get to sort of the meat and potatoes, why, you know, with this, you know, you clearly are passionate about this, so passionate that, you know, that you took to social media and said some very pointed things we'll get to, which is fine. And, you know, I will say this, Trey, like, I hope you understand, and Julian will back me up on this, 99.9% of the media, when they get, like, something like this on social media, they're going to ignore it. They're not going to engage.
Oh, I'm fully aware. The Chicago Bear fans run away from me. Matthew Barry.
No. This is like, yeah. So, but here's my thing. I want to talk about it. I want to talk through it. I want to talk, you know, at it, whatever it is. And there's no one better to do it with than Julian, because that's what I love about Julian, because he runs hot just like we all do. All right. But Trey, give me your background. What's going on besides you being a wrestler?
So I used to work for the Phillies. I put together the presentation for signing Zach Wheeler. I just figured I would say that because, you know, I didn't know if you were going to go with the discrediting Trey angle. So,
first of all, relax. It's okay.
I'm relaxed.
I know, but you're coming in. You're like, you know, just it's okay.
I'm great. Right. I'm fine. Yeah,
all right. You're flexing the muscle. You're like you're talking about Zach Wheeler presentations. We're here. I mean it, Trey. Like the fact is that I love your passion. I love the fact that like you actually like you are passionate. People are pissed off about this Devers thing. So
as they should be.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. All right. So anyway, go ahead.
I only mentioned it because you asked my background. So I figured I would.
Yeah. So hold on. Zach Wheeler presentation. Got it. Okay. Go.
So I used to work for the Phillies. I got fired because I have a big mouth, as you.
No.
I used to work.
I'm sorry. I went to school in Philly. I went to Temple. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. So then I used to work for Baseball Info Solutions. I got fired when there was no minor league baseball season for the COVID stuff. So I decided, screw it. I'm going to go out on my own. And now here we are.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm taking the company to Vegas in the fall.
Okay. But you're a Boston fan?
Red
Sox fan.
for the most part. I like the Red Sox. That's I like the Celtics, but other than that,
So,
I go to the White Sox.
what was your dream job? You worked for the Phillies. Was that right out of college?
No, so when I was in high school, I was a bat boy, and then I went to college, and then after college, I kind of had like an in, and then I kind of worked my way up. So I moved like Trevor Plouffe into his apartment. I was a slappy at the start, and then
All
slowly
right,
worked
so
my way up.
why you say like with the Phillies, what was the tipping point? Like, 'cause that's a good job, right? I mean, I asked about I would ask what your dream job is, but I would imagine that's a pretty good job. You're working for an organization. What went wrong?
I would say it's the same thing that goes wrong in this industry in general. The people who tell the truth, they get pushed aside and they don't want to hear it. And the people who lie, they get promoted. Just like that Connor Rogers who works for Matthew Berry. He's a yes man. He tells him what he wants to hear. He gets hired because he's supposed to be the draft guy that's going to help Matthew Berry. And then when Matthew Berry says Ben Sinnott's going to outscore Brock Bowers, he just sits there and agrees with him because he's a yes man. So that's
I did not have Matthew Berry on my bingo card in this conversation.
it's the
But all right. Well, so and now you say you're the company is Vendetta Sports Media, right? Is that yeah, okay. All right. So we're gonna get into like the impetus for this is that and Julian, we had been talking about all week long about here we go. We got things to say about Devers. But I do wanna, I want to also put this out there because Trey, you went on social media and you did a video ripping media, ripping me, ripping the my parents and Jones and Keefe. And then he had another one. You said, checkmate, Bradfield, 48 hours to accept the invitation to debate the state of the Red Sox. If declined, we will continue to expose the media infrastructure that protects dysfunction. I'm offering you the fairest terms possible. You can even bring a friend. I brought a friend. So that people don't get this twisted, Trey. That like I'm doing this, I'm having you on because I'm trying to avoid you, quote unquote, exposing the media infrastructure that protects dysfunction. Go ahead, like just pretend like I didn't respond in 48 hours. Go ahead, floor's
Well, I
yours.
mean, I could have kept digging, could have kept finding stuff. I just think June
Tell
Lee's
me
a
what
real
you
reporter.
found.
Well, I think June Lee's a real reporter, and I'm not sure what news you've broken over the last year and a half. So I would say we could start with that. You're really good at, hey, when Chaim Bloom gets fired, then you have a lot to say, but maybe not so much when he is hired.
Okay, so I could, again, I'm not gonna go through my resume,
Okay.
but that's fine. You're a big fan of June Lee, that's fine. There's fans of June Lee's, and so, well, I mean, okay,
At
so,
least
but
he's
you
doing his
didn't, but
job.
you, but Trey, you didn't
I
answer
mean,
my
let me ask you this
question. Wait,
real
one
quick.
second, Julian. We gotta get to this because I don't wanna make this seem like, hey, Trey, I wanna talk about the Devers thing with Trey. I think it's a valuable thing. You're a fan, you have opinions, and if we can steer us in the right direction some way, or we can steer you in the right direction, fine. But I want to make this very clear. I'm not doing this because I was going to wait out the 48 hours. Tell me what other things that you were going to reveal.
Well, I mean, I didn't have the exact answer, but I would have found something if I kept digging. That's
Okay.
for
All
sure.
right. All right. Go ahead, Julian.
No, what makes June Lee a real reporter? And I don't know if I'm included in that, and not Rob.
I don't know enough about you, so I wouldn't throw you under the bus for
Fair
knowing me.
enough. Fair enough.
Well, I just think if you, I mean, you went on the radio, you said, "Hey, this AI story, it's totally overblown. It's not a big deal." But then that same AI came out and said you're corrupt. So you're either proving it correct or you're just doing this for no reason.
All right, this is okay. Let's start with that. Because a big part of this, the Devers thing is a really fascinating thing. And because this is a trade which, like, there's a million different offshoots, and one of the offshoots ultimately became this AI story, the AI story about the interview, the Red Sox, that June had come on. It wasn't in the story, but he went on media outlets and said he had talked to someone who interviewed, and correct me if I'm wrong. Someone who had interviewed for the Red Sox for a baseball ops position. Is that right? Is that right?
Believe so.
Yeah. So, and then he went through five different, his first five interviews were all AI, Zoom. So here's my thing, Trey, about this. And this is what I said on the radio. Listen, I hate the AI thing. I hate it. I hate it. Forget about baseball. I hate it across like all industries. I have a son who's out applying for jobs right now, just out of college. He has to go through this. I hate it. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of organizations do it. Now, when it comes to the Red Sox, this conversation, it was that everyone was pointing to this as a huge part of the Rafael Devers trade. Where is reality, Trey? This is, if you want to talk about reporting, this is reporting. You go, you find out, you ask people, say, hey, were you, how did you, how were you interviewed? People who mattered, people who were up in the top tier of the baseball ops department, people who were, there is, when you can say you apply to a baseball ops job, and there are literally 100,000 people who apply, this is how it works. Trey, I get it. I hate it as well. But if we're using this, this story, and this is what I was saying on Jones and Keefe, and I'm sorry if it didn't come across this way. If we're using this story about how a low-level applicant for a job for baseball ops had to go through some AI interviews as a correlation to the dysfunction that it came to Rafael Devers trade, that's my problem with it. And we had gone so far down a stupid rabbit hole, and this was the example. All right, that's what I meant. Maybe I didn't articulate it. Maybe I did. Your thoughts?
I don't think those two things are tied together, so I'm not.
What two things?
Well, the AI and the Devers thing, they're not.
Okay, so what do you then? Why do we care then? Why do we care that?
Because he's a child. We have a child running the team.
No, so okay, you cannot listen.
Who's the child?
Breslow.
Who's the child? Breslow
and Cora.
Okay, and Cora.
Okay,
okay.
So, but you said you used the. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, Trey. You say okay, you have the. You want to use the AI. Case, this AI interview, this AI story that Jude had put out there as an example of why they're doing things wrong with the Red Sox, with Craig Breslow and Alex Cora, correct?
Well, all this comes down to a culture problem. You said Devers is bad for the culture, but what is the culture? Who defines the standard of excellence in the culture? It's not the player. And if Breslow, by the way, he did that interview, what was it, June 5th? Greg Hill asked him, what's the identity of this team? What would you say the culture is? And he didn't have an answer. So how are we going to blame the player here?
So I would say this, Trey. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I've said this. I said it on the Jones and Keefe show a bunch of times. I said it today, which was that the part of this problem, an impetus for where we got, was because the lack of communication, because people, Buster Olney had the same thing, the lack of understanding of there has to be better communication. You have to humanize things more. In my world, get the guy like the old, like the Bill LaJoy. This is going way back. But, you know, John Daniels, he's with the Rays. You have Dayton Moore with the Texas Rangers. Get that guy in there to sort of humanize things and take away from this other stuff. But, Trey, I can't ignore it when you're talking about the AI thing. I'll say it again. To introduce it, one has nothing to do with the other. What we're talking about, no matter what Breslow said on the field yesterday, no matter what we're talking about, the AI thing had nothing to do with anything. Because you know how I know? Because you can answer. You know how I know? Because I asked people who are interviewed for important jobs, and they did not go through that process. That is reporting. That is why I said we shouldn't focus on that AI piece of it. Go ahead.
Well, if the AI, you know, it's not a big deal, then everything that you're doing is, you know, hey, Breslow, he's doing everything fine. And the
AI literally, Julian, okay, Julian, I feel like I just said that. I just pointed out what Breslow isn't doing fine, Trey. Did you listen?
I'm listening.
Julian, you go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of confused because, for one, I think all of us have said, Trey, and again, I know you don't know who I am, but that's perfectly fine.
Julian McWilliam, CBS Sports, worked for the Boston Globe and then The Athletic.
Yeah, before.
I'm sure you don't know who I am either, so it's fine.
We're all getting to know each other. It's great.
I didn't mean it in any type of way. I'm just saying I'm sure you like I'm again, but like I'm sure since you don't know who I am, like you haven't saw what like most of us have said. All of us have said from day one, it's been a communication issue with this team. All of us have said from day one that like, hey, there are not enough humans in there, that Breslow isn't human enough. Yeah. All of us have. I mean, I think that's why it's gotten to this point where it's like you lose your franchise player and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like we actually lost this guy. I think Breslow's kind of going through that right now. Right. I think he's going through that period of like, what did I do wrong? And I think
what did he do wrong?
Hold on. I know when I say what did I do wrong, I'm saying he, I think he's thinking, he's reassessed things. Because what I will say is he came in very, very, to me, he came in arrogant to this job.
Of
He
course.
came in, as a guy who, similar to all these analytical guys that feel like they know every single thing, right? Off the data, off this, off that. But they didn't grade out what the human element of it was, particularly Raffy, because Raffy is a guy that needs that hand on his shoulder a lot of the times, right?
He
But
needed a sidekick. He didn't need to be pigeonholed into an idiotic DH role.
okay. I mean, but Bregman's a better third baseman. But
He should be
however,
playing second base. I mean, if you really boil it down to a team building aspect, he's like a Pedroia. Bregman fits a Pedroia. There's no what's the team building for this Red Sox team? What's he trying to accomplish? What's the standard of excellence of what James Tibbs is in terms of a right fielder for what fits the organization of the Boston Red Sox?
I mean, now you
Is
just
that a
throw it,
question?
now you just throw it in talking points, Trey. I mean, like,
I don't.
no
I'm
one's
not. I'm
suggesting
not.
James Tibbs is even going to play, in the next 3 years.
So how are we defending this?
I think what Julian is saying, and I'll say.
All I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is this, Trey. All I'm saying is that if you were listening to the reporting of Rob or Chris Smith, because I saw you called out Chris Smith too,
Yeah.
all of them have said that this is on the organization too. But I think it's also twofold, where if you're being paid $300 million and it's
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Team asks you to do something, you do it.
I don't agree.
And within that too, I've said on the record, on 98.5, other platforms, CBS platforms, that this has been enabled throughout the organization for years. It predated Breslow. Like Cora sort of enabled this too.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't the first time Raffy's come out of shape to spring training. It's
well,
not
they
been the
urged
first
him to be
time.
more of a fat ass by saying he's your DH.
I don't want to call any names or anything like
Well,
that.
that's
But
what
okay,
they did.
that's your words, not mine.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that this has been a situation where they have they this is they have enabled this. They have enabled him not talking to the media. They have enabled him not doing sponsorship stuff. They have enabled him, like you said, being out, fat and out of shape, right? They've enabled that. And so all of a sudden this explodes, and they're signing you because you ask him to be a grown up in the room, and you say, hey, be a grown up and go to the DH spot. You know, now it's sort of, for lack of a better word, nut crunching time. Now we're trying to win. And he won't do it because he hasn't had to do it. So I think it's
both. He'll do it for the Giants. Yeah.
Absolutely, I think he'll do it for the Giants. And you know what? I think he'll be better off with the Giants. For one, it's an organization that's led by a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame, Buster Posey. He's used to communicating those things because he's a catcher, he's a former player, right? Bob Melvin, one of the better communicators in the game. I think a better communicator than Cora. And I cover Cora. I could text Cora right now. Right? I could text Cora right now. Like that's my opinion. I think Bob Melvin is the better communicator. But I think a lot of times it comes down to what the communication. I don't even know what I'm arguing right now.
I don't know what you're arguing either. It seems like you agree with me.
No, wait.
I agree with you on the AI spot, but I definitely agree with you on everything else.
And
sure.
Trey, the reality is all what Julian's saying, and like this is why it's honestly bullshit that you just drop bombs, you know, to this, because it's fine if you don't disagree or if you don't agree with what I say on the radio. It's fine if you don't think I'm a good reporter or whatever. But you also should understand that everything that Julian has said, we've been saying. I mean, I have it right here. I wrote it on Sunday night, exactly this. Like, ultimately, you know, the front office dug in on upgrading the defense at third base. They knew that if it wasn't going to be Bregman, it was going to be Nolan Arenado. They should have communicated. They did a terrible job of communicating going way back to then. That's on them. That's where all this stuff started. And we said this. We said this over and over, and Julian just articulated that. So I'll come back because we're sort of spiraling here.
Like, I don't think it's spiraling.
I'm saying spiraling because I think Julie and I are just saying, like, what are you?
I just want to know what your issue with Rob is. What's your beyond like, yeah? What's your issue with
well,
Rob?
I just don't think you can go on the radio and say Devers is bad for culture when we don't even know what the culture is. Who sets
first of all, I have a pretty good idea what the culture is. Julian has a pretty good idea what the culture is. I have a pretty good idea what that clubhouse was because I was in the clubhouse the last 3 days. I have a pretty good idea of talking to a lot of people on and off the record about the culture. So for you to say, well, what's the culture? We've talked about this. Well, I'll give you an example, okay? We have said this. We've already articulated and identified that the culture in terms of communication and not being robotic was an absolute issue and has been an absolute issue. We've said this numerous times.
Yeah, but so, culture is a human characteristic. If there's no humans involved, they don't have culture.
Correct. Okay, so this is going to come off.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, you're right. And this is, and you're absolutely right. And we said this, that is an issue. That was a problem. And that was one of the problems when it led to this Devers thing, which was everybody should be mad about. Absolutely. But Julian said this about Breslow. Like, okay, well, he came in this way, and is he going to learn from mistakes? I looked at, and this isn't defending him. This is being in the clubhouse, witnessing it, which is, and I think I said this on the radio, all right, instead of just saying, hey, awkwardly saying to the entire group, hey, guys, we traded Devers, if you have any questions, whatever, I saw him go to each player and try to give them the opportunity to ask each player, hey, you have any questions? To me, that's a step in the right direction. That's a good culture. Now, Trey, I'm not going to argue with you. They had to correct the culture. And it wasn't only the front office. It was getting Bregman in. Julie and I have talked about this a million times, right? Having the adult in the room, having that voice in the room, having a guy like Bregman in there, like Justin Turner was. Because the message is, for a baseball team, being around it, and Julian can back me up on this, a lot of times – it can't come from the front office, and it can't even come from the manager. It has to come from that guy. And one of the guys they're dramatically missing, and maybe you agree with me in this, the guy who I talked to an hour and a half ago, Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been
– big time.
Right? And they botched it when they didn't sign the deal. And by the way, like, you keep coming back to this Heim Bloom, Chris Sale report. It's like, yeah.
I said it all the time.
Right, you, and so yes, you use it as an example, right? Correct. as it said, and so again, I'm glad that you're here so that we can get facts and accuracy. Chaim Bloom is let go. When Chaim Bloom's let go, when something happens, like we know, okay, why was he let go? You have to do, you talk about reporting. You do reporting. That's what you do to reporting. You can take it as like someone feeding it me from the ownership. That wasn't the case. I can guarantee that didn't come from, I can tell you, that didn't even come from the Red Sox. So
well, he botched the last two trade deadlines and he should have been fired.
Who, Chaim?
Definitely. For sure
yeah,
they have.
Yeah, no, but that, but Trey, that was what I, that was in that article that I wrote in the Chris Sale thing. That's the picture that we were painting. That Chaim Bloom did a lot of good things, but he also, he was asking for, he would ask for too much. He wouldn't pull the trigger on trades. He wouldn't pull the trigger in terms of free agency. That yep. was the problem. And that was the picture that we were painting, and we tried to paint it by reporting on something. So that's why I'm glad I'm talking to you. You can take it for what it is, but that's just the reality of it. But go ahead.
I mean, I don't know what the question is. We're
there's no question. I mean, we're talking. I mean, you're. It's like you. I want you to come on and say what you want to, and say, hey, this is why you know I'm mad. This is why I'm mad at us. This is why I'm mad at Devers. This is why I'm mad at the Red Sox. And I get like you're sort of in defense mode, but we're not.
I'm not in defense mode.
We're just like articulating exactly what happens because. I don't think this is done enough. And Julian, you can weigh in on this.
I agree with that.
Like, I don't think this is done enough. I could have ignored that, whatever you put out there, whatever. But I, it's frustrating, Trey. It's frustrating when you see stuff and not just that. Like, there's plenty of stuff. We're like, and Julian and I were like, what? And,
yeah.
But you don't want to get the time suck. You don't want to waste it. But I looked at this as an opportunity to talk to you, to get a passionate Red Sox fan who is angry about the situation in and on this conversation. Julian, go ahead.
Are you angry? Like, so are you angry about the situation?
Oh, 100%. How could I not be?
Yeah.
Well, I'm angry. I'm not angry at you guys. I'm angry at Breslow and Cora for allowing this to happen.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like, but so what's you do think that they use five rounds of AI bots is what you're saying?
I'm saying they may have or may not have. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Wait, you just said it doesn't matter. So why are you obsessing over it on social media then?
Because he either is lying about what's going on or he doesn't have control over what's going on.
Well, he said that they were. He said. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think. He said that that's what they do. And the Red Sox had, this is what we do. Zach Scott said, this is what you do.
He said, my understanding is, I'm not really sure is how I understand.
Well, and then the Red Sox, as you point out with Chris Smith, like the Red Sox released a tweet to explain exactly what they do.
And it was written by AI.
I'll ask Abby Murphy. Abby Murphy, who wrote it, literally two seats down from me in the press box. I'll ask her if her preferred name is AI. But this is what we're doing. Like, we're trying to, like, offer from our perspective.
Hold on. Media relations and baseball operations are two separate entities, right? Like, I think a lot of us use AI to write emails, to do this, to do that. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily going through five rounds of AI bots.
He may have. He may have went through one or two rounds. Who knows?
And by the way, I come back
but
to
no,
who
the
cares?
Person said the report was five. Like I think it's getting away from that's getting away from the issue of they just traded away another freaking generational talent.
Like, I think AI is like number 50 on the things that are wrong with this team.
Right, but why did you obsess over it in regards to the
social
media?
I've written maybe 60 articles on this already.
Right, that's great. But in respect, when you were calling me out for what I said on that radio hit, you chose to focus on that. You said this is number 50 on the list. Well, what do you – no, I already – what's number one?
What's number 49?
Yeah.
Well, number one is this team has no culture, no leadership, no forward-thinking ability.
You are correct. They don't.
Yeah, that's why they landed where they landed.
That's why they've missed the playoffs last 4 to 5 years, whatever the number is. I think that's why. But the AI stuff.
Why is nobody willing to say that?
I have said it.
We've said it.
But like, where are you looking? Like, it's not like this is the thing. Like, people think like our jobs exist on Twitter. They don't.
No, I didn't. No,
that's where the fans' job exists. It exists on Twitter. So, like, I think that's getting caught up in their logic of, well, you know, it's not Rafi's fault. It's not, and you just hear so many different sides of it that it all gets muddied together, and you're just like, okay, what's true and what isn't? And then we become a part of this similar vein, players, right? So 98.5 will say something. We'll walk in a clubhouse and it says, well, you guys said this. It's like, I'm print media. Like, what are you talking about? So, like, I feel like people don't really understand if players, fans, what the job really entails. And probably you do because you're on this side. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying in general, that what gets loud is sort of stupid. Like, this AI thing is stupid. I don't know what, if it was going for shock value or what, but I don't know. But it's stupid for it to be a topic when you just trade your best player of this generation, one of your best hitters of this generation. It doesn't make sense.
We can talk about anything other than AI. Like, I'm not obsessing over this AI thing.
But that's I'm glad you said that. I'm glad that you said that. But
I'm thinking about people cunts.
Well, I mean,
and it happened to do with like AI. Like, the AI came. You said, "Oh, such and such, Rob Bradford, that cunt." Like,
okay,
like, you know, like, where is that coming from? And it was rooted in the AI.
I wouldn't say it's rooted in the AI. I just think that anybody that's defending Craig Breslow right now, I just
did once again.
Once defending again. Him how? What does defending him mean?
And I want to know. And I want you to tell me how I specifically have defended him.
Well, if you think the AI story is stupid, then you're defending this part.
How? I just don't think it's that much of a story.
You just admitted. I mean, Trey, you just admitted that it was number 50 on the list, and I said this, and Julian backed me up. He said this AI story. It leaned into the vitriol of the entire world, the Red Sox world right now, because everyone's looking for their pound of flesh, everybody. And so people took this. They said, oh, look, here's another example. Well, I'm all for examples. Julie and I have both given a bunch of examples, both in writing, on podcasts, on the radio, whatever it is. But Trey, this is not an example. This is so far from example. And so you say, well, it's just something I said. Well, it was the thing that you're jumping off point for me, you know, calling me names and everything else and saying I suck at my job. All right, you can think I suck at my job, but find something else where it's actually accurate where I suck at my job. Because I can tell you this, as Julian just backed me up, this AI take, that's not sucking at your job. That's just the reality of the situation.
Well, I mean, we can talk about anything else, but you just keep saying this AI isn't a story, but it exposed you. So I don't really know.
Wait. Oh, God. How did it expose me? I'm glad Julia's there because I'm losing my mind. Like, how did this expose me? Tell me.
AI said you're corrupt. That's what it said.
AI said that?
Sure it did.
Okay. What was it?
Where did it say that?
I published the article. It's right underneath the
MP. What article did you publish?
AI. So you typed in, is Rob Bradford corrupt? And AI said, yes, he is.
Yep. That's what it said.
Oh, what a shock. Oh, my God. What a shock. Well, is Rob Bradford corrupt? Yes, he is. He's corrupt.
Here, I'll send it to you if you want.
Wait. Hold on. You can use anything you want in there.
It's okay.
I'm trying to figure this out.
This has actually become much better than I ever anticipated. Okay.
So you got on Rob, or you got on the Red Sox for using AI, correct? If that's true, let's just say it's true.
I'm 3 weeks into this, so I've hit every angle possible, and AI.
Right. Okay. No. I got you. So you're getting on Rob for saying, the how dare these guys use AI as a resource to vet potential?
No. I said, I just clarified. No, I said what I said on the Jones and Keefe show is I said it was a non-story for the exact same reason, Julian, you said it was a non-story. Because what we're talking about has nothing to do with the Rafael Devers conversation, because that AI process, and nobody believes it was five times, but maybe it was, who cares? But that AI process wasn't done for anybody of importance who in the front office, which you in a lot of ways are correct in criticizing. So if we want to criticize the front office and we want to criticize the organization, well, that's great. That's fine. We've already done that. We've already litigated that. But we've also proven, despite your, I don't know, like typing something into AI, we've also proven that the AI report has zero to do with anybody making those decisions. Zero. Nothing. So this focus on something
else. So
he
doesn't have control over what's going on, is what you said.
Over what?
Over the AI interviews. He doesn't have control over what's going on.
Who?
Breslin.
No, but so here's my question. So you're at so you believe that story is valid on Rob being corrupt because AI said it, correct?
Yeah.
So then if Breslow did use AI in theory, if he did use the AI, what's wrong with that?
Because
you believe. Okay, so what I'm saying is, if Breslow used AI, if you're saying it's valid and saying Rob's corrupt, then you and Breslow are thinking the same.
No, I would never think the same as that piece of shit.
But you just said that you think because of
AI is a tool,
Rob's
not a crutch.
Well, isn't that exactly what we're talking about? I mean, that's what they said they're using the AI thing for.
If you're not speaking to a person, I would say
that's Trey, I mean, again, to come back to my original thing. It sucks, but this is how all companies do it, to sift through resumes. But they aren't doing it for the assistant general manager. Taylor Smith, who the Red Sox got for the Rays to be an assistant GM, did not go through any AI, okay? I know that for a fact. So, and to come back to, so you saying I'm corrupt? All right, you can use it as a tool. Do you think I'm corrupt? You keep saying I'm corrupt.
Everything that I put in that article that I published, I believe.
Okay, tell me why you think I'm corrupt.
Well, I just think one day after you get the exclusive interview with Breslow, you go on the radio and
not an exclusive interview. There were three people there.
Okay,
so it wasn't an exclusive interview. It was a scrum. It was a scrum. It's called, that's when multiple reporters are there, I was asked. I had my tape recorder in there. I asked some of the questions. And he answered them in front of multiple reporters. Okay, go ahead. And I go on the radio. Go ahead. Continue.
Hey, you deflected all the blame onto the player.
That's no, as I said a million times, as I wrote in Sunday's article, I said everybody's to blame. Everybody should be mad because
I don't think Devers deserves 1 ounce of blame.
Okay, so what I said on the radio.
You don't think he deserves one?
Hold on a second, Julian. So what I said on the radio, and this is what I said, want to get the point across. The most important point, which is everybody has gotten blamed to this point. But the minute that he, as I said, gets out of the wheelchair and starts running a 4.440 in San Francisco, in other words, puts on the glove and starts working out, you don't think that's pissing on all of his teammates and even the fans?
No, I don't. They told him to put his glove away. The people in charge.
No, they did not.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
That's not true.
They told him he was the DH of the Boston Red Sox.
Dude, right. I'm telling you, it's not true.
He's on record. Alex Cora.
Right.
Rafael Devers, two different things.
Right.
But do you know what happened before that? Do you know why Cora said that?
Well, tell me.
Do you know why Cora said that? Because they went to him and said, "Hey, Rafi, this guy's and I'm with you. They should have communicated this. They did a shit job of communicating it." I agree with you, but this is what the fans don't understand, and this is something that I report. They went to him and said, "Hey, Rafi, you're not playing third base, but we want you to play. We want you to take grounders at third base, grounders at first base, because you know what? We might need you to play those positions." Rafi said, "No, trade me."
Seems fair.
Then after that, Cora came out and said, is he going to take grounders at first base? Based on that conversation, Cora said, no, you know what? He's my DH for the Boston Red Sox. That's why that hard line was drawn. So that's why that hard line in the sand was drawn like that.
He's really good at taking the path of least resistance. Very good at it.
Cool. But let's come back
to what?
Well, he could have brought in alumni. You bring in somebody from the organization.
I agree.
Pedro Martinez. Hey,
can I agree you sit with that. Talk?
I mean, you don't just take that at that. Face value and say, "Oh, I'm going to throw a hissy fit."
You're right. I agree. I agree with you there.
Somebody who has real leadership qualities would have handled that a little differently.
No, he has leadership qualities, man. You can't do that. I think he's still a good.
Long might play third base. Nobody's believing you.
Yeah, I mean, what is he going to do? He's not the one making the transactions. He's playing what he has.
It seems like he's crying for help. Ooh, we can't question the front office. How dare we? Ooh. You know, let's make Roman Anthony a political statement.
Political what? Statement.
What are you talking about?
Well, in the June Lee story about how they were trotting out Roman Anthony, it's a sign to the front office.
Do you think that everything in that story was accurate?
I think maybe 80-85%.
Okay.
Was.
Well, that was one thing that was not accurate. Anyway, so you come back to
definitely not aligned. There's no chance they're aligned.
Who? Okay, so there's no manager in their team every manager in their team has issues with the front office. Every manager across the majors. You like they're all just like you're right. They don't have any say with their teams anymore the way they used to. You're right. But that's not a new thing. That's not anything new.
So what are we arguing about?
We're not arguing. You had said, Trey, that one of the things you had said was basically that Devers didn't deserve any blame, right? Correct?
Correct.
All right.
Jimmy's a real reporter and you're not, Rob. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, let it be said, let it be done.
I like June too.
Yeah. So but when you say Devers doesn't deserve any of the blame, and maybe again, maybe we're just not going to agree on this, but I said this when the trade happened. My initial reaction, my immediate reaction, and I wrote this, was everybody should be mad, should be furious to get to this point, and that the Red Sox are to blame for all the reasons that you said, that I said, that Julian said. And Devers, though, is also to blame. Because really, Trey, what happened, and I don't think this is disputable, what happened is that when Rafael Devers and a lot of players who made a lot of money, especially when they feel like they are disrespected, then common sense goes out the window. He felt like he was disrespected. Now, should they ever approach him that way to make him feel that way? Probably not. No, they messed up that way. But also, at the end of the day, and Trey, you're like, you play team sports. You've been around team sports. When it gets to the point where Tristan Casas is hurt and all they're saying, hey, listen, just grab a glove and see if it takes. See what you can do. Because we just feel like we don't really have a whole lot of options out there. Like, as someone who has played team sports, could you imagine if a teammate said, nah, I'm good, and then, by the way, immediately do it when he leaves town?
I mean, I wrestled my whole life. It's not exactly a team sport, but, I mean, I did play other stuff when I was little. But, I mean, I've never had a leader that was that horrible. So,
if they asked you...
Who's the leader? What leader? Rafi or the front office?
The management. Front office, Cora, any of them.
What do you think makes Cora a bad leader?
I think he doesn't tell the truth. I think he lies a lot. I think that he's crying for help. I don't think he has any real direction on what the team's supposed to look like.
I mean, is direction on what the team looks like, is that his fault?
I would say if they're actually aligned, they should be on the same page on that.
I'm here to tell you, like,
Sam Kennedy says they're aligned.
Cora wanted Bregman this entire time. The front office didn't.
So they're not aligned.
So that goes to show you that that's something that he had to push for. I mean, but it doesn't. But that happens all the time in business, right?
And like, so
you have a media company. You have a media company, Vendetta Sports,
yep.
Media company. If you say, "Hey," to your employee or to yourself, I don't know. I don't know how many staffers you have. Say you have three staffers. Hey, I need you to write this Phillies piece on Zach Wheeler. Because let's stay at Zach Wheeler land, because you put the presentation together for Zach Wheeler, and he says, "No, I'm good. I don't want to do that." Or you're like, "I want to divert and go this way."
It
And then it
wouldn't
gets
happen.
out.
Those people actually respect me, and Devers does not respect those people.
You think it comes down to respect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
doesn't
okay.
respect them, so he's not going to do it.
Well, Trey, so the reason, a lot of stuff that you're saying, like, I don't blame you for thinking a lot of the ways that you're thinking. And some of it's accurate, but some of it, as Julian and I point out, it's just not true. Because,
well, it's not true.
I mean, we've gone through, what was the latest thing that Julian said to clarify?
I don't know. I feel like I'm, I feel
you're
like
saying
I'm
the Roman Anthony part's not true.
Well, the Roman, like, I mean, Roman
Trey,
Anthony's things
like
aren't true.
The Red Sox clubhouse, man. I feel like, you know, those guys aren't the, like, I'm not saying it about you, but I just feel like when you talk to those guys, you kind of go in circles sometimes because they're not like the most experienced and well thought out guys in the world. But I'm not saying that about you, but it just feels like that's where I'm at right now mentally. I just don't
I mean,
know. I just don't
and
know.
Again, this is why, Trey, this is why I want to do this. I wanted to, if you have the opportunity, if I have the opportunity to say something, to clarify something, to give like some what we feel are facts of being around the team, because this is our job, whether you think we do it well or I do it well or not. If I can do that to paint the picture better, then I want to do it. And because I honestly, people don't do this enough.
I
and
agree.
You can't, but the problem is that there's so much of it out there. Like, there's so much of this nonsense out there. It's a time suck for us. I just looked at this and I'm like, great. Julie and I were going to rant about the trade. Trey, like, you're clearly passionate about this. We could get to the heart of the matter when to what you don't feel is good. This is great. This is a great opportunity. But you also have to accept, Trey. Like, this is what I want you to come away from. You can think I suck. That's fine. But you also have to accept, like, that what you think and what these things you're piecing together and a lot of these bigger picture things that you're making these broad statements and feel so bold to put it out there, that some of them just, look, what we're explaining to you are just not true. And
so what's not true?
I didn't write down the list of things that we mentioned. I mean, first of all, like, the fact is that, like, when you talk about Rafael Devers, and this isn't like, this is more of an opinion than anything, I guess, but when you say Rafael Devers has no fault in this, and we're articulating the reasons, Julian did a great job of this, of articulating the reasons why actually you have to introduce that shit that you didn't know before, that shit that you aren't introducing. So that's
at the end of the day, there is no culture, there is no leadership. And the standard of excellence for what the organization sets comes from the top. And if they're not doing it, you can't put any of the blame on the player. Bottom line, end of story.
No. Well, I think this in this case, it's different. A lot
At
of times.
No.
When you're making $300 million, you can't.
That's not how culture works. It starts from the top. We don't have any.
Well,
it starts from the top, but hold on. He's a grown man. He's grown.
And he has. He's got 15 any years alpha, old. Manny Ramirez would have told them to fuck off, too. David Ortiz would have did the same thing. Any alpha, anybody who's actually
listen, Trey. Like, I covered David Ortiz his entire career. I can tell you shit like that happened, like that was exactly what you're
taking pay cuts, wasn't it?
Exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't like this, and you know how you know.
But he had Pedro. He had other guys on the team. Devers is.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that
it's
part of it,
Devers.
That part of it is right, and that is like that's why
all
you
this
had
comes back to bad team building.
No,
a horrible team.
Well, that's why they brought in Bregman. I mean, and you're absolutely right. We Julie and I said this till we turned blue last year.
But there's consequences to bad team building.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with you. Right, you're right about that. I mean, now we're having a conversation. Now you are just calling me names and saying, hey, I'm a shitty reporter or whatever. Now we're having a conversation because, as we have said, as we have articulated, going back to Kyle Schwarber. Let's go back to Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Right? Julian, you love it when I bring up Kyle Schwarber, don't you?
So I do. He should have been resigned easy.
That's the point, is that they devalued him. They did not value him like they should have because of all the things that you said. That was a misstep. And I do think, and even last year, like where you have a lot of, like there wasn't enough of, I love the Phillies clubhouse. I love these teams that have the guys that you're talking about. And you are so right. You are so right when it comes to, you have to have the guys who can, and I said this before in the podcast, that you have to have the guys that can manage the players, because the manager and the front office can't always do it. And I do think they, and I'm not, this isn't an excuse for them, and we have to talk about steps in the right direction. That was a huge part of the Bregman signing. Huge part of the Bregman signing. Absolutely. And I think, you know what, Trey? I think that talking to people, that they've learned that how much even more important than they even anticipated having a guy like that in there is. Now, too little too late, right? Yeah. Rafael Devers, too little too late. But
they needed Vlad, though. That was the move. They needed another Spanish-speaking guy on the team.
Well, I mean, they have Spanish-speaking guys. I mean, then you had two DHs.
None of them that are in Devers' level, though.
So they needed Vlad. But Vlad, they weren't going to give Vlad that money.
I mean, he would have been a perfect team-building right-handed bat that they needed.
I could see that. I don't know what I'm arguing.
If you're trying to build, hey,
I like your takes too, man.
This is what our championship Red Sox are. Devers is our Ortiz. He's our left-handed bat in the middle of the lineup. Where's your right-handed bat? You don't got one.
They don't have one. Right. I like what you're saying, Trent. Yeah, you know what? I'll make you my GM.
Trey, I think I can't believe I haven't been hired
after I called Bucky Irving RB1. I can't believe I didn't get a GM job after that. But
what got you fired in Philly? What'd you say?
I demanded the main job, and they weren't going to do that. So
what was the main job?
Well, Dombrowski was going to get the job, and I was.
So you demanded the main job, and So did you sound like fuck off?
I didn't really curse or anything, but once I didn't get the main job, I was out of there.
What was your title?
I didn't even really have one. I was wasn't really making much.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So you were just like like the guy on the ground?
Pretty much. I mean, I would watch players' dogs. You know, like I did a lot of shit jobs. And then like,
so hey, your personal assistant.
Yeah.
Personal assistant to the Phillies.
Kind of, yeah.
And then you wanted to be the GM, and they said no, and you said, I'm out.
Well, they didn't even give me an opportunity, really. I just think that's one of the best free agent signings in the history of the franchise. So I just felt like maybe I would at least deserve a chance to speak.
What was in your presentation?
I have an article on this, actually, that I kind of just copied. I copied all of the website. I can share it with you if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
Let's pull this.
Right. I'm not for the name calling, man. I mean, you don't have to go to the.
I think that's, you know, like, honestly, Trey, we got to the place where we wanted to get to, which is we're having this conversation. A lot of what we're agreeing about, and we're trying to fill in the blanks for you as much as we can, because that's our job and that's where we're there. But dude, don't come out and like make like fucking vendettas and blackmail stuff. Yeah, I mean, well, that's why it came to mind. But I mean, you don't need to do that, man. You're a smart guy. Like you,
I just don't think people are honest enough.
You don't. You don't know me. Listen, first of all,
I think we're honest enough. I don't think front office is honest enough. I think I could point to some national media members that I don't think are honest enough because they want to get freaking scoops. I can point to that. But that's not me. I hope you go and listen to my hit on 98.5 after this a couple days ago. Like, I hope you listen to it. Like, it falls on everything. The Red Sox are a mess. I've said the Red Sox are a mess. I said people within the organization, outside the organization, people that played for the Red Sox see it as a mess. It's a freaking mess. Players talk. This is a reason why a lot of free agents are sometimes scared to come here, because it's like, how do you treat your superstars? I get it. It makes sense. Yes. We're on that.
If you think I was being harsh, I can accept that. I'm not perfect. I'm a firm believer in the Chinese farmer. Maybe. If I had the incorrect approach on this, I have no problem admitting that. But I think the bottom line here is there's no way anybody can possibly blame this on Devers. I just think it's crazy. Just from any sort of culture, leadership, anybody that understands any of that, there's just no way.
He shouldn't have got that money anyway. That's the point. He shouldn't have been in this position to get this money anyway. They should have signed Mookie. They should have signed Xander for just a tad bit more than they signed Trevor Story. They didn't want to do that. Devers was the girl that you get at the end of the night.
No, they were paid in
when you can't score.
Right.
But if they have those guys on the team, he doesn't act like this.
Well, what
I agree, but he doesn't do this. But again, you don't know Raffy to the degree which we know Raffy. He's moody. He can be a little bit of a baby, but he can hit.
Oh, he hits.
And yes, he does hit. And you need to surround that guy with people. They try to coin him the leader after giving him the money, and it doesn't work that way. Just because you make the most money doesn't make you the leader.
He should have never been in that position.
Similarly, Darren Durant's not a leader.
Trey, let me ask you this. Wow, were you surprised? You know, so I was in the clubhouse on Monday, the day after, and we're all wondering like what the reaction is going to be. So we go in around and interview Duran, Bueller, Story, and somebody else. Were you surprised about the reaction from the players when it came to Devers?
Not at all.
The basically it's no big deal reaction.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, none of those guys are really attached to Devers the way that some of those guys would have been on the 2018.
But don't you think that a player of that caliber, if they didn't feel like there was some blame with Rafael Devers, if they thought there was no blame with Rafael Devers, then they would have this is no good.
I would say that they clearly know something was off. They don't necessarily know who to blame. So that if the problem is gone, they're not necessarily going to treat it as, oh my God, such a big deal. So that doesn't really surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean, the part that I can't get by, the part that I can't get by, and I said this on the radio, honestly, and this is maybe just, we aren't going to come to an agreement. Anybody who sees a guy, and I like Rafi, like I've covered him.
I do too.
He's a gamer.
I don't know if he likes me anymore.
Right.
I like him.
But he's.
You know why? You know what, Trey? You know why he might not like me? Because I had shit to say. That's why.
Yeah. So.
And I showed up the next day. I didn't just say it and didn't show up. You know what? Ooh. I was in that clubhouse the next day after I said that. And you know where I'm going to be on Thursday when they get back after I had this firestorm, this media firestorm, this Olympic media track meet I've been on. I'm gonna be in the clubhouse. If anybody has anything to say, I'm there.
Well, you're talking to me, so that's a great sign. All the things that you're saying, I believe you.
Well, that's good.
Because you're the El Capo. Well,
call me Don, actually.
Teflon
Don?
But like I said, the part that I can't get past is, and I think that any player in there, if they can get past it, which I said on the radio, of just the immediate, and the only best way I can describe it, I've said to Julian first, and I'm going to, because he was, I always workshop my stuff with Julian, was being in the wheelchair, then getting around the corner, then running, getting out of the wheelchair and running a 4.440. Like, for a play, for the players who needed him to actually try to play first base, that's a tough one for teammates to get past. That's just a fact.
It is true, especially when you're looking at like this, and like these aren't the, like, I don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't.
So personally, what happens if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, forget about that. What happens if they aren't in a position to buy the deadline? That's the bigger issue.
Oh God!
Right, but everything, like, this is the straight ball right down the middle for you, Trey. If they aren't, if they collapse, and they listen, they scored, and Julian this stretch is where he is too. In the last, they went 2-1. They scored 4 total runs.
That's gonna keep happening.
Right. Well, so if that keeps happening,
where's the offense coming from? Like, like Trey, for instance, I was offended when, and I get it, but I was also offended when Jaren Duran said it was just another trade. I was actually, because it's like, okay.
He might feel a certain way and isn't going to say it, though, either. You know, he's not going to necessarily tell you exactly how he feels and blast the
But
team.
He did say it by saying. I mean, like, he could have said exactly but it's what just, but these the, other but guys my point said. Is saying,
my point being, it's not just another trade. And I'm glad that Tim Healy followed up and was like, whatever Tim Healy said, I'm glad that he followed up, because it's not just another trade. And you know what? I get why the players are thinking about it, because it's like he screwed us. In their mind, he screwed us. He didn't want to be here. And they're not looking at management. Like, you can't expect a player to like be like, when you're not showing up for them every night. Like, dude, they're running out Abraham Toro at first base. Have you seen him play
first base?
He's
not terrible, though.
He's terrible.
In terms of, he's been getting on base.
He's at first base. He's terrible.
For a minor league contract, I mean – For a minor league contract.
I'm saying, have you seen him play first base? I'm not talking about
baseman.
You know what? And the regression is coming, Trey.
Like, but Devers isn't the first baseman.
The minor league contract was for a reason. Like, let's start. The minor league contract is for a reason. The Carlos Tavaez thing, the regression at the plate. I'm not gonna say behind that, not behind the plate, at the plate. The Carlos Tavaez regression at the plate is coming.
Yeah.
The Romy Gonzalez regression at the plate is coming.
And they have no power in the lineup. Zero power in the lineup.
Right. So when you're looking at somebody like Devers, it's not just another trade. But I get why they want to keep that, because they have to keep their edge. They have to keep – but, like, for the public that's just saying it's just another trade, this guy had to get out of here, I'm with you. I'm saying, you should have brought in Big Poppy. I'll tell you this. On the record, I texted Jen McCaffrey, who does a wonderful job at The Athletic. And I said, you remember when Cora was like, when you asked Cora about, you know, getting Ortiz in there or getting other people in there to kind of talk to Rafi about transitioning? Cora's like, no, I got it. That's my job. I'm the manager. That was a misstep.
Yeah.
That's why I agree. And I don't care. I don't care if Big Poppy doesn't respond to your text messages. I don't care about that. I'm saying get Pedroia, get Pedro, get.
They have Poppy. Such a great alumni. Like, those guys should be your best
and
ammo.
And that's what the Giants do with their alumni.
Yeah.
That the Red Sox don't. That's what the Yankees do with their alumni that the Red Sox don't. They empower them to a point where if there's an issue. Because sometimes it means something more coming from somebody else just for you to hear it versus your parent sometimes. How many times your parents be like, hey, man, go talk to my son. I can't get through to him. Because
I'm a
firm
believer in honoring the past. You should always honor the past, and they have no interest in doing it.
What's more powerful, honestly, to be perfectly honest, was more powerful than Ortiz? Because Ortiz
is Tito's and soda.
Tito's and soda. Well, here you go. It's been a long day of travel. But it's Ortiz and Devers aren't that close. Like, that's what you have to also understand. Like, this isn't
right.
Like that, people don't.
But that's not. But that's not. That's not on Devers.
I'm not saying like you can bring in Pedro. You can bring in Pedroia. Whatever. I think Trey, you said it before. This the most important, impactful, and Julian references is you hear it from the parents, but you got to hear it from the brother. You got to hear it from. And I use this example: Evan Longoria, the Diamondbacks brought in Evan Longoria a couple years ago. Why? Because they needed that voice. They needed a guy. And the problem with this team right now is that Bregman was, he's supposed to be that voice, but he's caught up all in all this other stuff. He's caught up in the middle of this. So they didn't have that guy. And whether it was Vlad or whoever else, that would have been the most impactful person. And the obvious person who is that guy is the guy who I talked to 2 hours ago in the San Diego Padres clubhouse, Xander Bogaerts. Who, by the way, you know, he was texting Devers throughout the entire thing. The entire thing. So, yeah.
That line right there is the most we've ever agreed since talking.
Wow. I think I also think I'm a terrible reporter. I do not.
Great. So you think the bots are true?
I mean, it depends. I think it depends on who's. I think it depends on who's talking to it. You have to come. Like when I talk to AI, I think the most important thing.
Dude, if you, listen, Trey, if you have somebody coming from Vendetta Sports, and you know you're getting 7,000 applicants and like 50,000 of, or like 70 or 6,800 of them are slap dicks, would you not put them through AI?
No, I have a. Her name's Emma Brown. She's the Vendetta Sports Media gatekeeper. If she has to speak, everyone speaks to Emma Brown before they
get. But Emma Brown doesn't get 100,000 applicants.
No.
Right, exactly. That's what Julian's saying.
He's saying, though, but she wouldn't be, like, who wants to do that? Like, do you know how many people reached out to me? I'm going to say this to you, and it's not a front. Like, hey, after I left the Boston Globe, which was in March, best job I've ever had covering the Red Sox. Hey, Julian, I'm really interested in covering the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. What's your title? Oh, I cover, lacrosse for the Herald City Presser in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
That's where I'm at.
Okay, I'm no disrespect to Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm just saying,
yeah,
I'm
you,
just
you
talking
can
about
disrespect it. You're allowed to.
I'm talking about the title itself, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Do you think I really want to take the time to look through that guy's resume? When I could just be like, eh, when you say AI, it's like, hey, cancel out these mother effers who are coming from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and yada, 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 and just give me a. Would you want to do that for Vendetta Sports? Would you seriously want to do that?
I flip over every rock. So I'm a psycho. I want to find the most talented people possible. So.
Right. I get it. But sometimes like I get it. And but like for certain positions, you gotta have some teeth in the game. That's just the reality of it. I'm not going through this when I'm having this guy who says, oh, I grew up a Boston Red Sox fan, so I want to cover the Red Sox. It doesn't work like that.
And Trey, like what it comes down to for me.
And I guarantee you, I don't mean to cut you off, Rob. I guarantee you more than 75%, 90% of those applicants are saying, I want to work for the Red Sox because I grew up a Red Sox fan. Probably. Do you know how freaking tiring that is when you're trying to assemble a roster?
I've interviewed people. They all say the same thing. I'm passionate about sports. I've always wanted to work in sports. A lot of the interviews are the same.
And Trey, you said it. This is number 50. It's probably past number 50. And this is my problem. This is what I said. And I don't know why I get so upset over it. My problem is that it is number 50. It is number 100 on the list on a very complicated conversation about a Rafael Devers trade where a lot of people deserve blame, which we've articulated. So if we're obsessing, which in I'm not, you're not alone, man. Like the people, like this is how the media works. They latched onto this. It was low hanging fruit. But what all my point, only point was, what are we doing with worrying about number 50? It's not even number 50. It doesn't even, for me, it's not even number 50. So what are we doing?
It doesn't
doing?
Matter, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And in fairness to June, that wasn't in his story. I know he got the reporting afterwards. And I know when you're on TV, sometimes you try to come with that information and shock value and all these things. And because I've been there.
Are you saying he's like a lot of that story was false is what you're saying?
Basically. I'm not. I know the Christian. I'm not saying it's false. I'm just telling what the people told me in terms of I'm not disparaging his reporting, but I do sometimes find it hard to believe that Rafi went to Christian Campbell and said, I'm upset that you're even willing to play first base.
I thought Cora denied that one, didn't he?
Well, he did. The report said that he was upset that Christian Campbell went and volunteered to play first base, and Cora came out and said he never volunteered to play first base. We asked him to. And I have yet to find anybody who knew about that dynamic that.
And if you know Christian Campbell, he's not going to offer to play first base, dude. That dude's trying to hit an inside sinker. Like I'm telling you, the dude is trying to figure himself out in the majors. He's not going and saying, "Hey, I want to play first base." So I don't know. I don't know. And I'm around this team more than June is. I covered them for 6 years straight of being around them consistently. I'm at every home game still because Boston is still my base in my seventh year here. I've lived here 7 years. I'm here to tell you, Christian Campbell's not that type of guy, and more importantly, Rafael Devers isn't that type of guy. I don't think Rafi's a bad guy. I think Rafi's a good guy. I can go through the list of people in that clubhouse who I think are bad guys. I'm not going to get there, huh? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there yet because you know what? I'm not Vendetta Sports yet. I haven't gotten to your level yet. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to go there. I can go to a list of guys in that room who I think are or who are disingenuous. I don't think Rafi's a disingenuous guy.
If you get tired of CBS, call me.
Maybe oh, man. I'm there, dude. I'm there. Hey, no, Vegas.
You kidding me? Your bread has never been hotter.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, Trey, thanks for coming on. And
What's your page, Trey? I'm going to follow you, man.
Yeah, it's vendettasportsmedia.com. I just think, if I can close with these two things.
Yeah.
Number one, I guess I just want to repeat this. The number one problem, I think, with the Red Sox is Craig Breslow. He went on that Greg Hill show, and he asked him, what's the identity of this team? And he didn't have an answer. If he's not building towards something, why is he having this job? I just think it's insane. So how can we possibly blame a player for ruining culture if there is no said culture? But anyway,
go ahead. I mean, we aren't going to get anywhere. I agree with some of what you said, but the last part, you know, again, like it's yeah, there has to be some blame there. But anyway, go ahead. What's number two?
I was just going to plug Vendetta Sports Media. Find my stuff. I'm at Trey Daubert. We're all over the place. And we are releasing my new invention. It's called Vendetta Fantasy Contest. It's a fantasy league of gambling. So be on the lookout for that. Filed for patent. And thank you for having me. I thought this was fun. I thought this went great.
Well, I mean, again, this is the reason why he came on was because, you know, it hit the sweet spot. Julie and I were doing this. We there's a lot of like things to talk about with Trey, passion, and
I can also get hot, Trey. I can get
yeah,
hot, man.
Yeah,
I can
but
get hot.
But it's also it's like it like honestly, Trey, like I come back to it. There's a lot of shit on social media that we just sit there, we're like, really, really? And obviously, when you do the whole, like, I'm going to expose, or like, that's, I mean, just don't do that anymore. That's stupid. But it's like, I think that you know what you're talking, you have some good takes.
Yeah, I thought he had a sex tape on you, Rob.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was worried about. I mean, it's like, who knows? What
I was like, he's going to go to San Francisco. He's going to be happy. He's going to play first base.
And you know what? And you know what? San Francisco might be better for his personality, too, because I worked out there in the Bay Area, and people care about their sports so much, but it's not it doesn't come with the, for lack of a better word, toxicity of Boston, New York, and Philly.
That's why I'm moving the company to Vegas. Those people are totally different out there.
All right. Listen, we wish you nothing but the best. And and I hope that like this was a valuable exercise and a good conversation. Yeah.
I'll take full accountability. If you think, Julian, if you say Rob's a good reporter and I overstay,
well, honestly, like instead
he
of
is.
Just,
he's just, not a cunt.
Yeah, just like take 2 seconds, man. Take 2 seconds.
just he's not a cunt.
You can look shit up. He's a great guy. You can look shit up, right?
I can point to former people I've worked with who are cunts. Yeah.
I'll believe you. I had a great conversation with Julian. I'll believe you.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like Ian always says, I'm the glue guy of the beat. Yeah. I'm the glue guy.
Yeah, just take 2 seconds, man. It's because you're a smart guy, you're a smart guy. You follow this, and most importantly, like we said, reason you're on, like you're passionate about it. So thanks. I appreciate you coming on.
Anytime.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.